In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amongst the reasons Luther gives why one should desire to receive the sacrament is this third part. He will certainly have the devil also around him, who with his lying and murdering day and night will let him have no peace within or without. And you should hear that, and your mind should immediately be drawn to David, and to a lesser extent Jonathan, suffering under the rage, the wrath, and the cruelty of Saul. David can't come to dinner because he has to be with his family for a sacrifice in Bethlehem, or so Saul is told. Knowing that his son is lying to him, he responds, of course, in the most proper way, which is to throw a spear at him and try to kill him in place of David, as he did in Monday night's reading, as he threw the spear at David himself. Saul will give them no peace. He will give them no rest. Indeed, he is trying to murder David, and also then, by extension, his own son. But what follows next in 1 Samuel 20 and into 21? David goes into the tabernacle and eats the consecrated bread, the bread of the presence, reserved only for the priest to eat. He and his men eat and are strengthened. And they go in the strength of that food into hiding in the long sojourn against Saul and hiding from him in the cat and mouse game that they engage in from thenceforth. David goes strengthened in the bread of the presence. That's not to say that David receives the sacrament of the Holy Communion, but what he does receive is in sign and token and type of the Holy Communion. The bread of God's presence, the bread reserved only for priests, which strengthens him and his men. This is why Luther says that you should desire to receive the sacrament frequently, that you may go in the strength of the body of the Lord, not merely the bread of his presence, but the bread which is indeed his body, and the wine which is indeed his blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins, that no matter what it is that troubles you and afflicts you in this life, no matter what the devil lies to you, what the devil lies against you, what the devil stirs up within you, what the devil stirs up against you from without, that you would have the strength to endure all these things, because you are not necessarily a priest set apart for service in the temple and tabernacle, but you are indeed a priest called and set apart by God in the waters of holy baptism, named with Christ's name, offering the sacrifice of your praise and thanksgiving. You go strengthened in the food of his body and blood, that you may endure all these things. For indeed, all these things, every dot and tittle of the Old Testament, every word of the New, serves to point us to that which we proclaim, Jesus Christ and him crucified, stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. And yet, Christ crucified is the wisdom of God, whereby he makes us wiser than the wisest of men, whereby he makes us richer than the richest of men. And by that name poured out upon us, inscribed upon us in the waters of holy baptism, we are set apart to stand in his presence in boldness and in confidence, unafraid of what the devil, the world, and our fallen flesh has in store for us, but that we would be strengthened, that we would receive the forgiveness of our sins, and the very sign, seal, and guarantee of our own resurrection in Christ on the last day. This is the day and the vow that Jonathan and David have made is looking forward to the day of Christ, the day of the seed of David, the descendant of David who rules from his throne forever and ever, ages without end. That is the one to whom they are looking. Though their friendship may be strained and separated in this life, in Christ Jesus, in the descendant of David, in the King after David and David's Lord, they will be united perfectly as brothers and as friends. As we pray in the post-communion collect that the eating and drinking of the body and blood of Christ would strengthen us in faith toward God and in fervent, in pure and holy love toward one another. This is what Paul is admonishing the Corinthians to cling to, not divisions and factions. And of course, he engages in a bit of hyperbole here, saying, well, Christ didn't send me to baptize, he sent me to preach the gospel. His point being, not that baptism is worthless, not that baptism is unneeded, or not that he himself did not baptize anyone, but that the preaching of Christ crucified goes hand in hand with baptism. So it does not matter if you were baptized by Paul or by Peter or by Apollos. You have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that the same is true for first century Corinth as it is for 21st century South Bend, Indiana, United States of America. You are baptized into the same baptism as they. You are baptized into the same baptism because you are baptized into the same Christ the crucified as they were. And so it doesn't matter which pastor baptized you, whether that was a member of this congregation or you've come to this congregation from elsewhere. You have been baptized into the name of Christ. You are united in Christ. It is Christ to whom you belong. He is your brother of flesh and blood. He is your Savior, your Redeemer, your Reconciler to the Father. He is the one who calls you. He is the one who sets you apart. He's the one who has died for you. He's the one who gives you His body and blood to eat and to drink. He's the one who lifts every burden and oppression of the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh from you. He's the one who gives you victory over these things, that you may endure until the end and be brought into His kingdom where ages never end. And so we hunger and thirst for the sacrament in this life, because while we wait, we still have flesh and blood, weak and fallen though it is. We're still surrounded by sin, and that there is no lack of sin and trouble all around us. You only got to turn the TV on or look at the news or the internet if you doubt that. And finally, because we also have the devil always around us with his lying and murdering day and night, leave us no peace, seeking to lead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But our Lord Jesus Christ, who has borne our sins in His body, has left them dead in the grave, crucifying us in Himself, raising us up in Himself to new and everlasting life, but leaving our sins and trespasses, leaving the devil and the world, and even the power and allure of our own fallen flesh in the dust of the grave. These are the things we are called to leave behind, and it is no great loss to us. It's no horrific loss, the things that we are called to leave. But it is He who instills in us a love of His Word and a hunger and a thirst for His body and blood, that we may hear, that we may eat and drink and be satisfied and be comforted and be delivered from all the troubles and afflictions of this life, even as we must bear our cross in this life and wait the day of His glorious coming again. This is the one to whom we belong. This is the one crucified for our sake. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of David, yet David's Lord, who makes all men to be of one union in his holy Christian church. In Jesus' name, amen.